Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this right now, I want to extend to you my deepest condolences, and I want to say how much I appreciate you because you make doing these things easier. You make me coming on here with a mic, with a camera on my face, and I'm open up about a passion of mine, such as professional wrestling. You make it so much easier to do that. It makes it feel like I truly have, I guess, for lack of better terms, a fandom family. And I just want to thank you all so much. And with that being said, I do hope you enjoyed this first edition of the Pin Down with audio only. Please sit back, relax. I don't know what time you're listening to this, whether it's in the morning, evening, afternoon, but just take a moment just to sit back and just enjoy this conversation between two pro wrestling fans. Thank you. So I hope you guys enjoyed that intro. I kind of just wanted to give this like, gosh, I'm gonna sound like a wrestling nerd and probably a wrestling loser even. I kind of wanted to give it like an AEW Collision and Dynamite, to where they're part of like the same branding, where this is part of Blur to Prove Entertainment and the Pin Down, but it has like a separate feeling and vibe. Like I kind of wanted to give that to you guys. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest podcast, not only in America, welcome to the greatest podcast, not only in the world, welcome to the greatest podcast in the universe. I'm your host with the most charisma to boast, Destin Penn, and you are watching Blur to Prove Entertainment's The Pin Down audio only. So again, the main reason for me making this, I guess, version of the podcast, if you saw my post, I kind of explained it. But the reason was, I want to make you guys more content. I want to talk a lot about this, like, opinions and thoughts I have on professional wrestling and how I watch it, and like my opinions on things currently happening, and even this maybe things outside of what's currently happening. So like that could be things that I feel like might be brewing, or things that even I hope to happen. So I just wanted to find a way to share more of that with you. That drew just me editing a picture and then writing something under for only seven people to see. That I wanted to reach more people and like actually see if I can build a brand by discussing and just talking about wrestling, because Lord knows that would be a wonderful way to pay the bills, especially for me, if all I had to do was just watch wrestling and talk about it. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, so that's the main reason I did it, and I won't stall too much longer, sorry. So let's start off. So with the first topic being Eddie Kingston becoming New Japan Strong Champion. I'm not gonna lie, one, I just didn't expect to see this. I was actually at work. I'm a manager at a gym, and I just got a chance to look at my phone, look on Instagram, and it was a very out of the blue, random, but kind of a very nice surprise and a very nice thing to see. I haven't been a fan of Eddie Kingston for too long. I once said I became a fan of him a little bit after the whole barbed wire death match fiasco with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. I kind of slowly started becoming a fan of him and like his style of wrestling. And now I wouldn't say I'm like his number one fan or like I watch every match, but I have definitely been a fan of him being in Japan. I kind of feel like he's viewed as more of a threat, and that this is a really tough guy in the company who gets beat up by whatever rising or shooting star. And that's nothing with Tony Khan and his way of doing things. I just prefer like someone who's supposed to be as tough as Eddie Kingston driving in a hardcore, strong style place like New Japan Pro Wrestling. But yes, I'm definitely was more than happy to see him. I kind of wonder what's next for Kenta. If I'm not mistaken, Kenta beat Fred Rosser. And Fred Rosser beat Tom Lawler. Sorry, I almost just started backtracking and going into talking about all the champions and shit. I don't even know who comes after Tom Lawler, so that would have been a terrible segue to divert to. But I'm definitely just happy for Eddie Kingston. I just had this thought. I'm kind of curious if this is going to play into the Claudio Castagnoli and Eddie Kingston feud, because it started off really, really hot, calmed down again, and then shortly after, Claudio became a two-time ROH champion. Eddie came back in. They had a great match at SuperCard of Honor. However, Eddie Kingston came up short, and Claudio won. So I wonder if, if we can see not a unification, but like a double belt, a double title match. Where, it's winner takes all, Claudio versus Eddie. And if we can see Eddie become ROH champion and New Japan Strong champion, or if we could see Claudio Castagnoli become New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong champion. I think that would be an excellent way to kind of spice up a feud. I kind of enjoy it, but I can see how the normal everyday pro wrestling viewer could maybe not find it as entertaining, especially like when they started off. I feel like it was like a perfect way. It shows Eddie Kingston cussing out Moxley and Blackpool Combat Club for bringing Claudio in when they know how Eddie Kingston feels about him, like them not caring about him and his mental health. And then even just kind of spiking up the John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Oh, John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston for the New Japan Strong Pro Wrestling. Kind of. Oh God, that's another great way they can kind of incorporate this, is because Eddie Kingston and John Moxley kind of have like that, brother rivalry thing going on. And from how we can tell by just watching AEW New Japan, John Moxley is much more successful in his matches and big matches than Eddie Kingston is. Like John Moxley's, God, I don't even know how many times an AEW World Champion, how many times have Eddie Kingston been? One. John Moxley, if I'm not mistaken, he's a three-time New Japan United States Champion. How many times have Eddie Kingston held like big New Japan Pro Wrestling gold, other than the New Japan Strong? Not at all. He hasn't been really a pro wrestling champion in any big places. And then John Moxley being in WWE, United States champion, IC champion, tag champion, Intercontinental champion, I already said United States, WWE champion. Oh yeah, like that could be great. Then you can play into a story where John Moxley is so pissed off at Eddie Kingston that he decides like he truly wants nothing to do with this friendship, and to like add more insult to injury, he tr aims to take Eddie Kingston's first major world title belt from him. You know what? AEW, New Japan, just go ahead and put me on the payroll. You don't have to pay me much. You can pay me like 15 an hour. I know that's not much. Okay, maybe not 15. Jesus, sorry. Let me not lowball myself. Pay me like 20 an hour, just to kind of spit out ideas of what to do with the fuse. And I'm saying this like it's not gonna play out, and I'm gonna be like, wow, that's so much better than what I was thinking. And I get that. Things might not be as easy as I'm saying them, but it one can dream. How about that? One can dream. All right, so moving on to the next topic, Judgment Day on Monday Night Raw. So I kind of been a fan of Judgment Day ever since Edge first debuted, like the concept idea. And it wasn't hard to get on board because he had that kick-ass song, man, by Alter Bridge. What's it called? The Other Side. Yeah, that's what it's called. But oh, if you watch Monday Night Raw, you love the Judgment Day. You know the song. On the other side, won't you? Oh man, yeah. I don't even know if that sounded good or not. I don't have the best vocals, especially for rock music. But Judgment Day on Monday Night Raw, great. They're running the show. I'm not gonna lie. I was kind of crossing my fingers and toes that Finn Balor was going to beat Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I love Seth Rollins. I'm loving his reign. I hope it goes on to be a good one. And we could possibly get Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and possibly versus Carmelo Hayes at Survivor Series if the rumors are right about them wanting to bring back Brand Warfare, but with NXT being included as the prominent third brand. But Finn Balor would have been so great to do it with Finn Balor. And then you would have had Judgment Day running the show, and especially with Damian Priest having the Money in the Bank briefcase. It's like they control everything major on Monday Night Raw. And then, hell, who knows? You can have Dom challenge for the IC title against, Gunther. And of course, he doesn't have to win, but just like a nice way of kind of teasing that like they're fully planning on taking over Monday Night Raw and becoming the number one brand. Like it would have been some awesome shit to see. And then even with like if Finn Balor won, he could drop it back down to Rollins at SummerSlam, and right when you think like Judgment Day has been uncrowned, Damian Priest catches in, beats Rollins, and boom, like now Judgment Day has the gold all over again. Oh, yeah, WWE. Same thing I said with AEW. Just pay me like $15 an hour just to spit out creative stories. And again, I understand it might not be as easy as it appears. And if you guys don't believe me, you can go on Blurred Approved Entertainment and check out my latest podcast interview with AEW, where the TV manager talks about how it's not so easy as we wrestling fans think it is to book a show, because there are so many factors that we just don't see because we are not behind there with the superstars. We don't know what's going on with TV. We don't know what's going on with their daily lives, with other things in the mix. We don't get it. We don't have production breathing down our neck on how to present a certain character. So, I get it. 100% definitely do. But, still, ooh, if only it was that easy, I swear I would be a millionaire in the pro wrestling industry. And, would I? Do you think I would? If not, leave me your thoughts in the comments. Okay, yeah, sorry, I forgot this isn't a YouTube video, it's audio. No, actually, let me try it again. Audio only. Yep, there we go. Cool. Audio only. So, with this one, I guess you'll be leaving comments, but it won't be like in a comment section. It'll just be like on a review page. I don't know. I don't really leave comments under my own videos. It's kind of like the same thing with leaving comments on Instagram, on your own Instagram videos. But yeah, this it would have been great, but it's even more entertaining because I saw someone throw around the concept of it being Finn Balor versus Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. I feel like that would be a very fun match because it's looking like it's going to be Seth Rollins and the Judgment Day program running into SummerSlam. So that would be a very nice and cool thing to see. And then even with Rhea Ripley, Dominic Mysterio, there's so much stuff you can do with them. You can have Dominic Mysterio like feel like he has to pick sides to where Damian Priest is like trying to get him to help him. Finn Balor's trying to get him to help him. And Rhea Ripley's the only one who's like telling him to decide for himself. Like, what an excellent way to possibly play into the hand of Dirty Dom. The nickname that they'd be trying to get him to go by, apparently, it seems, according to news. By news, I mean Fightful Select. But definitely, there's so many factors you can play with the Judgment Day. I love the Judgment Day. Have been a fan of them since day one. What do you think? Do you think the Judgment Day are one of the best factions since possibly the Shield? And I know that sounds like a pretty extreme thing to say, but not many factions have really like come into play too much after the Shield. So is it that bold of a thing to say? No, is this It's the truth. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt your programming of me listening to me talk about my love for professional wrestling, but I just want to draw you guys' attention to Blurted Proof Entertainment. You know, I know I talk about a lot about the Pin Down because that's the show. I do want to create a successful following for the Pin Down, but Blurred Approved Entertainment are the people who not necessarily funding me, but they're the guys who are presenting me with this platform to do that for you guys. So I want you to please, please, please go check out their YouTube channel, Blurred Approved Entertainment. Watch a couple of my episodes, you know, put some likes, give me some comments, give me some traffic going, but also check out all the other shows. They do just great shows. Even check out my guys, Then and Now podcast, where my best friend since middle school, Charlie Wilson, he's on there. Just please check them out. Like, I promise you, you won't regret it. It'll be an excellent time. Now back to your programming. For number three, we have the Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile, who lost their match in NXT and got banished. So, you know, now they're doing a whole thing of, you know, what's next for Diamond Mine? What's next for the Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile? We already know they're going to the main roster. Like, they're not going to AEW or New Japan. Obviously, would be cool, but we know that's not the case. So, if you guys follow me on, you know, if you guys just follow me on Instagram, Kingpin99, I talk about a lot of wrestling and say a lot of wrestling opinions in my stories and in posts. But I said send them to SmackDown, make them one like the prominent SmackDown teams. You can like make their first big match against the Usos because the Usos kind of want to get out of the Kevin Owens bloodline like talk and establish themselves as no matter who they go against, they're still the number one tag team. And then when Survivor Series comes, give us Alpha Academy with Maxxine Dupri against the Creed Brothers with Ivy Nile. Boom, you know, fun little match, great dynamic, especially with being, you know, like amateur wrestlers against amateur wrestlers / Olympians. It would be a great dynamic. And then, you know, you really have Maxxine Dupri test like her toughness and all Chad gave on OSI taught her against someone as badass and ferocious as Ivy Nile. Just, you know, I just think it works very great into making the mid-card not seem so mid-card, make it seem like awesome in its own way, just because it's not the main event card and scene doesn't mean that it still can't be entertaining as hell. And so that's my opinion, but maybe you have something different. Where would you like to see the Creed Brothers, Ivy Nile? Maybe you want to see them go to Raw and tackle against like the types of Judgment Day and Imperium. Again, I feel like they're just successful enough to where wherever they go, they're going to do amazing. But, you know, I feel like my idea is the best. And, you know, I'm kind of, God, what's the word? I'm kind of biased because this is my show. And if you don't like it, don't leave. You know, just take a deep breath and keep on listening because I need your likes and views. You know, not that you guys help with rent or anything, but you guys just help with my mental health, I guess. I have nobody outside of you guys to talk wrestling about, except for my poor girlfriend who will listen, but I know deep down inside she probably doesn't give a damn. But yes, so just keep listening to the Pin Down audio only. Boom, nailed it. And then listen to number five as we're going to talk about All In. And I kind of messed up with planning this, but I already posted it, so it's too late. I think I meant to talk about AEW Collision, not All In, but it was already kind of too late. I posted it, so I kind of talked about both of them. So All In, it's looking to be a really exciting show. AEW's biggest event, which I know Tony Khan like has a thing where like he constantly brags about how successful AEW are, but I mean, even when Impact started, they weren't doing numbers like these, like, or they weren't doing like big events like this. I don't even think Impact had like its first major TV deal until like close to four or five years after debuting in the pro wrestling scene. So, you know, definitely congrats. And if the London crowd is the same as it was for Money in the Bank, bro, it's going to be so good. Like, I look forward to seeing what they're going to do, especially with plans of big things happening and leading into big storylines. I think we have Daniel Bryan reportedly on the creative team too. So yeah, we're just looking forward to this excellent wrestling. But moving on to AEW Collision. So do I like AEW Collision? Yes. Like, I think it's great. You know, more wrestling is great wrestling for me. You know, content, 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 content. Excellent. Love it. However, I kind of don't get the reason for its creation. That like, you know, like, I feel like you have AEW Dynamite, then you, at the time, you know, I know they kind of switched it out. I don't think it's around anymore. But then you had AEW Dark Elevation, which to me was a stupid, you know, like, this. It's like if NXT 2.0 level up had NXT 2.0 level up. Like, no, like, this, you know, you don't need to, like, for the enhancement show, you don't need to have another enhancement show for that. But, you know, you had that, and then you had Rampage. I feel like the solution here is just to, like, repackage Rampage. Like, you could say, like, goodbye Rampage, hello AEW Collision, and you really give it, like, that. You know, you don't have to make a second big show. You just kind of make your already second show, even though it's not that big. Just build it back to how it was when it first debuted. You know, that was just something that always went through my mind. But again, I love it, but I kind of just feel like it takes away from AEW Rampage even more, because it's like, well, why watch, you know, AEW Rampage when Collision comes on the next day, and they'll probably show me what happened on there, and it's not going to be anything exciting. You know, and like, even though they're putting on like some pretty good cards, because again, reportedly Daniel Bryan, he's the guy that's like helping with that, the matches don't really entice me enough to watch it, because I already have, if I'm like an avid pro wrestling fan, Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night NXT, Wednesday Night AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, Thursday Impact Wrestling, Friday SmackDown, Collision, like, you know, like, it's 10 o'clock. If I'm a bit of an adult, I worked all day. I'm not going to be staying up all day, all night watching wrestling. You know, I'm probably going to be tired. So, like, why watch Rampage when I know, like, it's not going to build up to anything that's on the two main shows? So, again, that's just my hot take. What do you think? Maybe you think that I'm totally wrong, and that there's, you know, like, nothing wrong with what Tony Khan's doing. But me personally, I just don't get the reason why even creating a second show. I just don't. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the final segment of this episode. Again, I want to thank you guys for just tuning in, listening. Please leave your dots. Send me your slurs and hateful words. I'm gonna embrace them. I'm just gonna chalk it up to being a content creator for the pro wrestling universe. So, you know, please have no fear. The ban is not here. I will entice you and your negativity. I will gladly, it gives me energy, it gives me life. And you know, probably is gonna help make pin down audio only and video too. probably gonna make it more exciting a content for me to create, because you guys are gonna get me really excited to talk about some outlandish shit. But here comes the hot take for the episode. Debatable wrestling opinions. I'm pretty sure that's his Instagram name. If not, I'll be sure to when I clip this, I'll be sure to go back in and change it. But he's a pro wrestling fan account where he just posts his, Lord, he just posts his most outlandish posts at times. And if you follow him, you know what I mean. Like, you know, I'm just gonna say Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Dominic Mysterio. Go back, you know, if you don't know it, please look it up, and you'll see what I mean when I say all those. You'll get the jokes I just made. And again, if you follow him, you already know. But I want to say maybe some weeks ago I came across a hot take he said, where he said What did he say? Oh, okay, yeah. He said, Hulk Hogan, whether you hate him or dislike him, and that being like us, the fans and pro wrestlers, he is like the most influential person on pro wrestling and in pro wrestling history. And, again, with me being an African American male, and if you, I don't want to say follow, because that just sounds like he does like all the time. But if you know about some stuff he got in trouble with about a decade ago, yeah, it's kind of mixed feelings. But I'm not gonna lie, I agree. I 100% agree with that hot take. And I've been, for whatever reasons, like the past 3 weeks have been, not even 3 weeks, I'm gonna say 2 weeks, been really obsessed with 80s wrestling. And like Hulk Hogan, like, he was definitely the guy, looking back at it, like presentation, how he talked, how they treated him with the camera and like storylines. Like, he truly was that guy. He was in everything, like in the beginning. Like, he kind of always saw the show. I didn't care if he went on in the main event, I didn't care if he went on in the middle. He was a guy that the audience went absolutely berserk for. And so I do think that's true. Now, when it comes to like, how do I think of him as a person? I can't really say that. I've never met Hogan, aka Terry Bobia. I don't know. He could be the salt of the earth, but I know a good handful of pro wrestlers don't like him for whatever reason. But even then, I think if you were to ask them this question, I think that despite their bitter feelings, like Bret Hart, he doesn't like Hulk Hogan, but I feel like despite his bitter feeling towards the WWE F world champion, he would probably tell you like that is a true statement. And the same way, if I were to say whether or not how you feel about let's say Bret Hart, he's like the number one guy when it comes to technical pro wrestling. He's like the master of it. Many people will probably be like, yeah, like I've never been a big fan of Bret. I feel like he bitches and whines and moans a lot, but like he is like the guy when it comes to like talking like professional wrestling. Like, whenever us the wrestling fans talk about technical wrestling dream matches, Bret Hart is usually in there, along with the likes of like Daniel Bryan, Claudio, Cesaro, and like other wrestling greats, Zack Sabre Jr. So I feel like New Day kind of said this around the time all that stuff was happening with them, Hulk Hogan, about a decade ago. They said like along the lines how they don't like hate Hulk Hogan, and they know the significance of the character Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea playing him and how he made their sport what it is today. But they're like, but the, and like we respect him and honor him, but that doesn't necessarily mean like we have to like him. Like, we can choose to appreciate the artwork, but not the artist. And like I feel like that like sums up, I guess, people like me, people, African Americans, who maybe feel like kind of betrayed or attacked by somebody that they grew up watching. I feel like that's probably how they feel, so where they don't necessarily want to kick the man down and disgrace everything that he's done, the happiness and joy that he brought them as kids, adults, whatever. But like, it's, they don't necessarily want to endorse the artist because they're afraid of putting and okay on what it was that he did. And and the reason why I'm not really saying it, because I don't want to necessarily draw attention to that, because we're not talking about Terry Bollea, the man that plays Hulk Hogan. We're talking about Terry Bollea's character, Hulk Hogan. So I'm the reason why I'm not going into detail about what it is, because I don't want to strive off topic and make this a make this too opinionated, if that makes sense. I kind of want to stick to what the hot take in wrestling opinion is. Do you guys agree with how I went about doing that? Do you guys feel like I totally missed the mark or I'm right on the money? Again, leave comments on what you think. Please hit me up if you hit me with negativity. Again, like, I'm probably just gonna like it. Like, it's gonna make me feel like I'm doing something right. It's gonna make me feel like I'm entertaining, not necessarily the whole bad press is good press, but like this, I guess, in the saying of bad press is press. Like, it's traffic. The traffic helps me and Who knows if I get really good at it and I truly do have the gift of gab, I can make this my job where I'm just constantly bringing you guys credit and I can get y'all some big interviews. Like, when did y'all like an interview with the Tribal Chief, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, MJF? Like this, so please don't be afraid to say what's on your chest. Don't be afraid to say what's on your mind. Feel free. This is what the pin down is for. This is what Blurred Approved Entertainment came to me for because they knew how passionate I was about pro wrestling and wanted to truly bring my love for the sport to you all as fans. So please, 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 please do not be shy about telling me how you feel. And with that being said, this is concluding the first episode. I'm applauding myself in my head, but I'm also applauding you guys because I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this. You guys don't know how much it means that I see the views, no matter how small. But I know that, like, at least one of those people probably went like, he makes a good point. And, like, even though they may not have liked and subscribed, just that dot alone puts a smile on my face. So I want to thank you guys for my smile, and hopefully I will never have a Shawn Michaels moment where I lose it. Oh, that was so corny. That was so bad. So I will leave you guys. Thank you so much again. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. If you're in your bed, listen to Sleep Tight. And if you're like listening to this on your way to work, I hope you have a wonderful day at work. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Godspeed.